At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Our second day at a joint practice out here at Allen Park as the Miami Dolphins buses have just rolled up, and the Dolphins have to rebound apparently from what happened yesterday. The Lions had a very, very good day. It was fun to watch, and we're excited to do it all over again from out here in Allen Park. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Let's bring in Lions linebacker coach Sean Dion Hamilton, who joins us. How are you, Coach?
Doing good. Excited for another day. I appreciate the beautiful weather we got. You know, I'm even glad that we're practicing at 10:30. Guys get so spoiled practicing at 8:30 in Michigan. You know, they need to see what it's like. A little bit warm outside, so I like it.
When you sat down with the film after yesterday's joint practice, did you see what it looked like to us? A very good day for you guys.
Obviously we are our biggest critic. You know, if anything, we can't be worried about our competition, our opponent, whatever. You know, it's a race to improve with us against us, you know, day in, day out. Let's see if we can stack days. You know, I mean, we've been to the playoffs years after years, you know. Now it's just, like I said, it's just all about us. So let's see how we come out and respond after having a good day.
Is this how it's gone for you guys? Really have just been stacking days on days? I mean, the offense has talked about going against you guys and how tough the defense has been. We had Jared Goff on Monday, and he is, defense is incredible right now. What we got to see yesterday looked like to us was like total domination. Is it just stacking another day? Is that what it was for you guys? Or, you know, are there some things that you look at and like, really got to shore this part up?
Oh, yeah, it was just a lot of things that we need to improve on. You know, we had a lot of offsides, penalties, DPIs, details, guys still not doing their jobs. And, I mean, you're talking about stacking the days. I mean, that's a long season, you know. And so with that being said, you know, guys need to be equipped and ready to play hopefully 22 games or 21 games or however many you play to get to that ultimate goal that we have. And we know that each game, you know, each week, you know, you got to stack. You know, if you don't in this league, if you don't play at a high level, you know, you'll lose. You know, so that's important that we now start callousing the body and start improving day in, day out, so that way we can be able to withhold through the long season.
Sean Dion Hamilton with us, Lions linebacker coach. You have a very deep and talented linebacker room. And let's start with the guys at the top. Alex Anzalone, Jack Campbell, Derek Barnes. You have to feel pretty fortunate to have that kind of talent.
Oh, yeah, I'm, you know, super grateful. Those guys, all of them are studs. All three of those guys are probably some of the hardest workers on our team. You know, great leaders. I mean, great, great young men, you know. And we even take away those three guys, we got a list of even guys that's behind them that, you know, those three know that every day they got to bring it because, you know, it's guys behind them. Zach Cunningham, Trevor Nowalski, those guys, they're coming. Grant Stewart, just another name to name. But, I mean, yeah, we've got a great room,
Talk about the experience that you get from having a Zach Cunningham on this team. And this is a guy who started in the league for a while and was really, really good. Asked to do a different role here with this team, but bringing that kind of leadership, that kind of experience, what does it mean to this young core?
It means a lot. I mean, whenever you can get a veteran guy who's played in this league, has played at a high level in this league, to buy in and, you know, understand, you know, we're trying to do the things that we're asking him to do. Maybe things may be a little bit different from how he's played in the past. And, you know, like his total buy-in, you know, we appreciate that as an entire staff, you know, because a guy like that, you get it, right? He's made money. He can do whatever he wants to do, how he wants to do it. You know, but when the guy buys in, you know, that's part of the culture. You know, you appreciate that as a coach.
How do you get guys to buy in? You're a young fella. You're, 29 years old? This is your first year coaching the linebacker solely because Shep did it last year, and you get the promotion, he gets a promotion. How do you personally get guys to buy into what you're going to say?
Man, it's one way, and it's going to be a standard. You know, I got high standards for those guys, and, you know, if you can't do it this way, then I'll find somebody else to do it. It's plain and simple, you know, and I always say – I always heard Coach Saban say, the eyes in the sky don't lie. So when we hit play and we watch this film, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, hey, I'm going to find somebody who's going to do what I'm coaching them, asking them to do.
You mentioned Zach Cunningham, one of your depth guys. Can you update the people on Malcolm Rodriguez and his recovery and when you guys might be getting him back?
So I know he's still rehabbing. He's going through the process. I'm not sure what's his timetable and stuff like that. You know, I know you were talking about those three guys. I always tell people, you know, don't lose sight of him. You know, even from, you know, when we're in meeting rooms, you know, I make it a point of emphasis for myself to, like, okay, make sure, let's not forget about Rodrigo. You know, he's been a stud. He's going to be a stud this year for us when he comes back. But he's doing great in the rehab process. He's killing it. Once he's ready to rock and roll, I'm going to be excited to add him back to the holster.
I feel like the early returns on Grant Stewart is that the fans are going to love this guy. He plays with an energy and an enthusiasm. And whether he's a depth guy or plays more than that, tell us what your early impressions are of Grant Stewart.
I tell him every day he's a maniac. You know, you love that guy because he's the same person day in, day out. You know, and I remember it was one practice where, you know, he was maybe a little lazy, loafing a little bit. I'm like, dude, I'm like, are you sick or something? He said, no, Coach. Oh, yes. I said, because you showed on tape and on film how you are. So we only expect one way out of you. But the fans are going to love him. Love his personality. Love, man, every day he's bringing this hard hat. And I love, I'm glad we have him.
How did you – we asked the same question yesterday when we talked to Tyler Roll, the tight ends coach. How did you get on this staff? You know, I know you played with the team and had some injury issues, had to retire. But how did you – how were you able to latch on and catch up with Dan Campbell to make sure that you had a spot?
I think I set the tone, you know, in 2021 when I was here as a player. Unfortunately, I ended up tearing my tricep first preseason game. But I set the foundation. I didn't know then as a player, you know. And AG, Dan, it was like, dang, they had no idea who I was, and I had no idea who they were. But, you know, from the training camp and how I was wired, how I was going about from OTAs to training camp, I'm like, man, this guy's, you know, pretty cool. Then they re-signed me in 22, and then we had drafted Malcolm, we had D Barnes his second year, and then I wasn't maybe the guy, but I was a backup, but I was the guy who was like, okay, get a meeting, Shep is telling them, like, okay, y'all see him, this is how it's supposed to look, this and that. And you know, I'm all good, I want those guys to be good at the time, and so, you know, I'm coaching them, helping them up and this and that. And then, okay, you fast forward till you get released. Meet with Dan, meet with Brad, and had obviously met with AG and all those guys. And, you know, they said, man, if you don't have any serious interest from teams, you know, we want you back on our staff, you know. And for me, you know, that was year five for me. I had checked off all the boxes that made money, things like that. You know, I'm like, what better way than this group of guys, you know. And something in my spirit, you know, just told me that, like, man, like, latch on to these guys, you know, it's going to be better for the next 20, 25 years. I'm so glad that I stepped away when I did.
You knew right then, I'm going to go into coaching. You weren't going to try and keep playing?
Yeah, I did. Just because I think, you know, when you know how it is when your gut tells you something.
Oh, yeah.
I think at that point in time, I mean, from going to Alabama, winning national championships, to getting drafted, you know, starring in the league, all, like, I feel like I had checked off all the boxes, and I feel like, okay, my purpose was to start influencing and impacting other guys.
I want to ask you something about Alabama, because I just, for the heck of it, I wanted to take a look at the roster that you played on the second national championship that you were on. And you're on the defensive side, right? Some stars on the defensive side. But you had to go against Tua, Jalen Hurts were the quarterbacks. You got Devontae Smith, Najee Harris, Jerry Jeudy, Irv Smith, Henry Ruggs, more than that, Calvin Ridley, Bo Scarborough, who we saw here in Detroit, Josh Jacobs, Brian Robinson Jr. Are you kidding me? I mean, every day in practice, what is that like in practice to see? Now, again, you guys had talent on the defensive side, but that's like a whole different world of what they had on the offensive side.
It was crazy. I remember when I first got to the NFL as a rookie, I'm like, I done already played against the best of the best. I mean, I done gone against T.J. Yeldon and Derrick Henry every day at practice. You think I'm scared of any of these guys? You know, but, man, it was great. You know, I always say that those lessons that I learned at Alabama playing against those guys, competition brings out the best. Once you get to this next level, oh, it's second nature. Even coaching now, you know, anytime you can have competition and raise guys' levels of play, you know, it elevates the entire room, it elevates the entire team. But it was, man, I love the competition that Coach Saban had at Alabama. It made everybody better players.
Lions linebacker coach Sean Dion Hamilton, before we let you go, when the defense is out on the field right in front of us today and we're on the air, what are things that we should be looking for that will make you happier than you were yesterday? Even though it went well, you said your own critics. So what should we be looking for today that will make you happier?
When guys are detailed and they're not making the same mistakes that they made yesterday, I'll be happy. And I won't lose my voice.
Well, maybe give us a thumbs up if it's going well. Would you do that?
There you go. Right. There you go.
Hey, thanks for coming by.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Coach.
There he is, Sean Dion Hamilton, Detroit Lions linebacker coach, fourth season with the team. Joining us here to get our day going on 97.1 The Ticket from Lions training camp. We're going to do it all over again, just like we did yesterday, from here at the Meyer Performance Center with the Lions taking on the Dolphins in a joint practice. And I hope it's as good as yesterday, because yesterday was fun to watch.
It's tough to live up to.
Michigan Auto Law Auto Accident Attorneys. They specialize only in auto and truck accidents. Many law firms don't specialize, but focus on many different areas of the law. Because they specialize, Michigan Auto Law has recovered more million-dollar auto accident results than any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. And if you do your research, you'll see the truth about Michigan Auto Law, like the largest auto accident settlement and the largest truck accident settlement of any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. Call my guy Steve and his crew at Michigan Auto Law, the law firm that puts people over everything. Visit their website, autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Training camp here at the Meyer Performance Center in Allen Park. It's Doug Karsh and Scott Anderson, and today's coverage here on The Ticket is brought to you by Geico. Switch and save and get more with Geico. So there is a bit of breaking news here. The Dan Campbell meeting with the media as we speak. The Lions haven't made their way out on the field, but the Miami Dolphins are out warming up right in front of us. And the word is that Sam Laporta has something. He's going to be down for a bit.
Uh-oh.
Danny Rogers from the Lions says it sounds like he's going to be down for a couple of days.
Well, that doesn't sound too terrible. But you don't like to hear that he's out for any reason.
No, and I mean, look, this is the kind of thing that, you know, I'm not panicked by any stretch of the imagination. I don't like some of the injuries that have taken place so far. I guess we're all a little bit scarred from what happened a year ago when they had just injury. You know, Coach talked about stacking good days of practice. You know, stacking injuries.
Healthy days.
Yeah. They stacked injuries last year defensively. And so, look, they've got, you know, they really like Brock Wright. You actually love Brock Wright. And I think Brock Wright's one heck of a tight end, too. Shane Zylstra, will probably see a little bit more of him today and get down into their depth guys. But all in all, yesterday was a good day. I suspect that the Dolphins cannot be happy with what happened yesterday. And I brought up at the beginning of the show, or maybe it was crosstalk, the Colts and Lions had a joint practice last year. And, I mean, we found actually a story coming out of Indianapolis. Matt Ryan and the first team offense dominates. And they got stats, and they basically said that the Colts dominated the Lions, and it didn't have any impact on who the Lions were during the season, clearly. So, you know, don't want to overreact to what we saw yesterday. Other than it looked good, it'd be great if it looked good again today. But just like the Lions bounced back, so do I expect the Miami Dolphins to bounce back today.
Yeah, that'd be I think it's completely expected. Doug, you can just look out there and see that they are warming up with a purpose today. That's what's going on.
Well, I want to see the 11-on-11 stuff. Because when they did red zone stuff, Dolphins just didn't put the ball in the end zone. The Lions did, repeatedly. So we'll see. Terrion Arnold's expected to be on the field today. We'll see if Hill will get out there. Watt will be more involved today. I guess we'll find out.
So. Well, I'm hopeful those guys are out there because you want to see, and the whole purpose of these practices is to get tested a little bit, right? And you're not going to have that opportunity in a preseason game to go up against Tyreek Hill or against Jaylen Waddle. This is the place where you can see that happen, and unfortunately, we didn't get to see a ton of it yesterday. Certainly none of it with Tyreek Hill, and very limited with Jaylen Waddle. I really hope we get to see that today. I think it'd be exciting for, guys like Terry and Arnold and the other corners to have that opportunity, because you want to test yourself against the best, and those are two of the best in the business.
So other things we're going to be looking for today, follow up on yesterday, but with Laporta out, I guess paying attention to the backup tight ends and some of the depth guys. But, Zylstra is a guy that they keep bringing back. He's been around, but he's never really been one of their top two guys. So there's something about him that they really like behind the scenes that they see here in practice and what he gives the team. And I keep our eyes on him today and see, how he does with – getting more reps with the ones given Laporta's injury.
Yeah, well, I think there's a comfort factor with Zylstra because he's been part of this team for a couple of years, so there's familiarity, and anytime you know an offense, you're going to have an advantage. So this would be a great opportunity for him to kind of solidify the standing with the team, but I suspect that he's pretty solid anyway.
It's funny, you asked a question in your show sheet about which position group do I feel the best about right now. I probably would say running back. I think they got two great running backs and a very, very serviceable, if not better than that, three in Craig Reynolds. On defense, it's linebacker. And this goes back to a pre-draft crush on Zach Cunningham 9 years ago. Couple that with the addition of Grant Stewart. You look at, they love Nowatzki, they love Pittman. And then you got the three starters. You got Rodrigo coming back. We just had Coach on here, and I think his group is probably the position group, at least defensively, I feel the best about on this team. And even better than safety, which is weird, but it's the depth.
You feel that way about the linebackers?
I love the depth in the linebacker room. Love it.
Well, I love Zach Cunningham. And yeah. The fact that he's a backup on this team is, I think that speaks volumes to the depth on this team. I look at the receivers, and I think I was starting to really kind of feel it yesterday and starting to see it yesterday. I think they have really good depth receiving core. When we're talking about a rookie who can make an impact like Tesla, it's not because the team is devoid of talent. It's because he is that talented. And the forgotten guy in his receiving team, receiving core, is Khalif Raymond. And he shouldn't be, because with the ball in his hands, he's dynamic. And then they've got all these other guys competing for those last spots. It's just it's going to be fun to watch throughout the rest of training camp, and hopefully they're able to hang on to some of these guys in a practice squad situation.
So setting the scene for people who weren't with us yesterday, there's two practice fields in front of us. You've got the Dolphins occupying the practice field center right here. And then to our left is where the Lions are trickling out. Dolphins, they roll in buses just after 10, and they go through their warm-ups. The Lions are second to get to the field. I don't know if they're doing more stuff inside or whatever, but right now some of the quarterbacks are out there and the specialists just kicking the ball, and the quarterbacks getting loose, throwing the ball, and we'll see how they come back today, day two of these joint practices with the Miami Dolphins. Stoked for it, man. Stoked for it. Other things to keep an eye on is Amon-Ra St. Brown and Hutch. It's funny because you kind of want to – I think everybody asks about the new guys. The two old guys were dominant yesterday. Amon-Ra uncoverable, and we just watch Hutch. I watch him blow up a tight end on a play, send him flying, and people say he looks very, very good in his return from injury.
Well, he does look very, very good. And I just saw something from the kicker, Jake Bates, that I did not expect. I had to look at the number and say, that was a kicker that just did that?
What'd he do?
So he's out there warming up, doing some kicks and whatnot with Jack Fox as well. And somebody threw a ball over to Jake Bates. He had to jump up in the air. He already had a ball in his left hand. He jumped up in the air. Did his version of Odell Beckham Jr., caught it with while he's jumping in the air, palm catched it with his right hand and just brought it right back in.
Love it.
That's another weapon. That's how deep the receiver room is.
Well, it's a skill set. You never know.
That is something you don't see.
Yeah, you never know when you might want to take advantage of that.
I mean, we know that we know the punter can throw.
I am not seeing Tyreek Hill out there at all. Yesterday he was in uniform. I'm seeing Jaylen Waddle.
Yep, Waddle is right there.
But I do not see Hill.
Maybe you have to tinkle.
It's quite possible. But he was in uniform yesterday. Didn't participate in stuff against the Lions, but which is too bad because I'd like to see those matchups. 248-539-9797. We got open lines. There's another bit of breaking news as Pete Thamel has tweeted out that Michigan has gotten word from the NCAA regarding from the Committee on Infractions, and that is expected to be released shortly. I don't know if it's going to be today or tomorrow, but I am eagerly anticipating this to see indeed what the ramifications might be from the Connor Stallion stuff. That will be probably known in the next 24 hours. Here it is from Pete Thamel. The NCAA has formally notified parties tied to the Michigan NCAA infraction case that an announcement on the findings and punishment will be publicly released on Friday. Sources tell Pete Thamel and Dan Wetzel. Our guy Dan's been all over this one. So something that we'll keep an eye out for and pass it along. Carson Anderson from Lions training camp here on 97.1 The Ticket.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
There's basically going to be stretching and skeleton drills until about 11 o'clock when the two teams will face off against one another in this joint practice day two with the Miami Dolphins. So we will get into what we're seeing when 11 o'clock rolls around. We could do play-by-play of the stretching, but we'll probably pass on that.
I'm proud of you going all football jargon. Skeleton drills.
Yeah, well, you know,
nice.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, well, you're doing passing routes against air. Okay, so Tigers win yesterday, 1-0 over the Chicago White Sox. Cleveland lost. The lead is 6.5. The Tigers have the second best record in the American League, game and a half behind Toronto, and a half game ahead of maybe. I got that wrong. Are they a game and a half behind Toronto, a half game ahead of Houston for the third spot, or are they a half game behind Toronto, a game and a half ahead of Houston? Now look it up. Anyway, they're the second best record in the American League, and they won the series, Scott, in spite of many people thinking they're doomed. And now they got a Scooble start coming up, and, you know, good chance to get to a point where they will have won 4 or 5. Look, the offense, offensively, it didn't do much. And I was realizing one of the disconnects between the doom crowd and why I'm not the doom crowd. I actually don't expect the team to hit on all cylinders every day. I think it's really impressive when you're winning in spite of the fact that you don't need to hit on all cylinders to win. Yesterday, they pitched and played good defense. And the pitching was outstanding. And defensively, they did pretty much everything you'd want them to do. Javi... out in center field, covered a lot of ground and made some plays. They turned one big double play and came close to turning another one on a very tough play. But, you know, and there were some uncompetitive at-bats. I mean, Javi early in the game, I think it was the fourth inning, they had the leadoff runner on, they stranded him. And Javi came up with two outs and struck out on what looked to me like three pitches, none of which were in the strike zone. And I went and looked it up today, and indeed on MLB.com, none of those pitches were in the strike zone, and he struck out. I mean, if Troy Melton, Sawyer Gibson, Long, Kyle Finnegan, and Will Vest can do that, they're going to win a lot of baseball games.
Well, I'm not concerned about the eighth and ninth inning. I think both of those pitchers can get the job done there. And I was excited to see Troy Melton pitch as well as he did yesterday. I said yesterday, I'm going to see what that pitch count is at, how deep are they going to let him go. And he was perfect through four. Gets into trouble with the fifth. A leadoff double in the fifth.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, come on. Because you can see how this game is going to go. The offense is going to be sluggish like a wet sponge, and yet what happens? Strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. He was fantastic. Then comes out of the game, and Gibson Long comes in, does the job. It was you could look at it a bunch of different ways. I want to look more at the positive side, which is the pitching was outstanding. The defense was outstanding. Javi Baez looks more comfortable in center field than, I don't know, 75% of center fielders you watch in baseball,
it's incredible.
So good out there. And it's just fun to watch him glide in the outfield and take the right routes every time and make the plays that are tough, make them look easy. And that was great. Of course, there is downside. They had five hits in the game.
Yep.
They had five hits in the game. They faced a pitcher who was known to not have great control. And, you know, they didn't parade the base pass all that much in the game yesterday. And that's a little disappointing. But, you know, tonight's a different story. They go up against a pitcher who they really roughed up a couple weeks ago at home against the Twins. They really roughed up the pitcher who they're going to go against tonight. Got him for 7 runs on 11 hits and hit not one, not two, not three, but 4 home runs against him. So maybe the offense is going to come back in tonight, and that'll be great. And then you can look at yesterday and say kind of a one-off. I hope that's the case, but the pitching was the story.
Yeah, I mean, two of these games in Chicago, the offense wasn't – they didn't do much at the plate at all for two of those games. And, you know, those were the two they managed to win. if you take a look at Melton, he's an interesting find and a card that they have to figure out how they want to play it. Like, when do you use Troy Melton moving forward? Does Troy Melton get another start here? Do they return him to the bullpen? Is it, they're still kind of seeking what this can be, you know, assuming, and it's not a safe assumption, it is a solid assumption, but assuming there's postseason baseball in Detroit, what role do they use Troy Melton? They got a month and a half to kind of maybe experiment a little bit and see if they can get more out of him.
Do you like math?
I do like math.
Okay, 40 games left.
Yep.
40 games left. If you have a honest 5-man rotation, you're looking at 8 starts per starter.
Yep.
And you've got, you know, Scooble going tonight, so I think it kind of coincides with that. Melton has thrown 97 plus innings.
Yep.
So far this year between the minors and the majors. His career high is what he did last year, was 100 innings last year. If he were to be part of the rotation the rest of the way and just goes average 5 innings per, that's going to put him at 140 innings.
Yep.
Have no idea what the innings count or the innings watch is on this young man.
Yep.
Right? But I can't imagine it's going to be too much higher than that, if even that high. Because they want to be very careful with these guys and maybe open it up.
I think you're probably right. I think, you know, if typically pitchers in their early careers, they kind of ramp them up, you know, 70, 100, 130, as they build up, you know, strength and get used to it with their arms. So you very well might be right that in the case of Troy Melton, there is a really good chance that they are not going to start him in a bunch of games so that they can use him more in the postseason. I mean, they got to love what they see. It's clearly early, but I can already see us getting calls if they do decide to ration his innings, if you will. People go, why aren't they pitching Melton?
I know.
That's probably why.
But there's, like I said, we don't know what the innings count is. That's a question for A.J. Hinch, and I'd love to hear the answer to that question, because there's a number of ways you can go at it. You know, you don't have to start him 8 times the rest of the way to get to that extra 40 innings, if that's what the number is. You could limit his starts. You could bring other guys up, which other guys will come up at some point, or maybe they're going to lean on the rotation that they had going into it. I'm excited, though, because he looks like he's a piece.
Yep.
He doesn't look like, oh, he's just some call-up for the sake of calling him up. No, this is a top 10 prospect in an organization who has hit the ground running, put together a nice season this year in the minors, and gets the promotion, and he looks good. A little shaky in one of the outings, but outside of that, he has been rock solid for this team.
Yeah, and I mean, Melton is a young guy. He looked pretty nasty, and I think you experiment, you push him as much as you can, but you're doing it to get him ready for the postseason. And then you got to see if Flaherty turns it around. I don't know what Flaherty's is. Flaherty tinkering, a treading on thin ice here to maybe not be part of a postseason rotation? Because I got to tell you, that outing yesterday, there was a bunch of runs given up, but it wasn't that bad.
His outing,
a couple days ago. Jack Flaherty was missing a lot of bats, and guys were waving at it, and they got a bunch of bloop singles. I thought he didn't get rewarded for a better outing. And, you know, I think they're probably a long way away from saying Flaherty wouldn't be in a postseason rotation, but, you know, he's done enough lately. The way he's pitched lately, you certainly can question it. I said Paddock's job is to help him get to the postseason, but that to me is it. I feel like they might be leaning on Charlie Morton. That feels like an A.J. Hinch guy, right?
Well, yeah.
But
it may have history together, but he has to perform.
Yeah.
Because that game Saturday night was not good. And despite the fact that the old man can throw it in the mid-90s, which is awesome, he got hit. And he got hit hard. So they need to figure some things out here. That it would be awesome if Jack Flaherty, if what we saw the other day, I mean, really should have gotten a better result than what was there. I mean, it just bloop singles and soft ground balls
most
that just whiffs found holes.
And an outing in the season.
Yeah. And there's a lot to like out of Jack Flaherty's last outing. I'm sure he's itching to get back out on the hill as well. But, I mean, he's one of the keys to this team moving forward here the last 40 games and going into the postseason, if not the number one key. They've got to have somebody step up and be that solid number two starter behind the ace.
Well, look, it feels like there's this sort of battle amongst fans, and I don't mean battle in their own head of whether or not they should feel confident in this team turning it around after that dreadful stretch. And it's been a slower turnaround than earlier in the year when they had bad stretches. Kind of, they won a series. I feel like, Kang, you said to me today, Kang back in our studios, you said to me today, they pretty much won this series and probably did little to instill confidence because of the way they did it.
Yeah, it was the least inspiring, you know, confidence-building series win the Tigers have ever had in the history of the Detroit Tigers, right? Our pets' heads are falling off. We barely beat the worst, you know, one of the worst teams in the league.
But they won.
Exactly. And that's what you got to remember that fact.
Yeah, I think people, you know, look, if you watch the whole game yesterday, bases loaded, nobody out to get one run out of it. When you're that team that is your defense, when you're on defense and you've given up the bases loaded with nobody out and you get out of a one run, you're like, that's a win for us.
Yeah,
but it was the one run that won the game.
Yeah, and they were a foot away from it being a three-run inning, at the very least, because that would have been an easy double, would have cleared the bases, but it didn't. And that's baseball, Doug.
I know.
That's baseball. I mean, like we said, in the fifth inning, Sox did the same thing, leadoff double, nobody out, and he gets stranded, not at third, at second base.
Yeah.
Because Troy Melton buckles down
and
gets strikeout after strikeout after strikeout.
So, fans, how you feeling today? They win a series at Chicago. Would you describe yourself as feeling any better? Any better? Do you feel any better? Because the Tigers, you know, we've all become a little bit of, you know, listening to A.J. Hinch. It's win series, win series, win series. And that's the formula they used in the first half of the season. They kept winning series. And, oh, look, that turned them into being the best team in baseball or having the best record in baseball. How you feeling today, fans? We're at Lions practice here in Allen Park, and Dolphins are out there warming up. When the two teams get together, we'll tell you a little bit more about what we're seeing. But right now, both teams going through warm-ups. Hey, lots of air quality alerts out there. Are you concerned about the air you breathe? You should be, and that's why you need to contact CGC Home Services. CGC offers Aeris Active Pure technology, reducing 99% of airborne bacteria, viruses, and mold. We've got one in our house now. Feel good about it. Why choose CGC Home Services? Rapid response, zero hassle, upfront pricing, no hidden fees, plus the latest advanced equipment and precision techniques. Call CGC Home Services at 855-339-4242 today. It's 855-339-4242 today, or visit them at cgchomeservices.com. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson. We'll get some line stuff when they actually start going against the Miami Dolphins right now, just stretching in warm-ups. The two teams out on the field. It was fun yesterday. It was really, really fun. In the meantime, talk some Tigers, because yesterday was a win is reassuring. Kang said somewhat facetiously it was the least reassuring series win in the history of the Tigers organization. But, you know, I get it. People want – they want them to look dominant at all times. And the reality is, in baseball, you kind of – you got to find ways to win games when stuff goes wrong, because it's very rare that your offense, your defense, you know, your fielding, your hitting, your – pitching is all clicking. When that happens,
your power play, your penalty kill.
When that happens, you're blowing people out, right? And
yeah.
And they won these two games. They scratched out what, three runs in the two wins, and hey, they found a way. They found a way, and that's what matters. But you know, it's the White Sox. The White Sox. Good news is the White Sox have been scoring a ton of runs. They were averaging 6 runs a game post All-Star break coming into this series, and you know, the middle game they obviously put up a big number, but in the two Tiger wins it was one run and no run. So pitching did get the job done. But here's the feedback coming in to the Carson Anderson inbox. You know what, this Tiger team's best is good enough to win it all, and I'm excited to see how they perform when it matters most. That's from an unnamed texter. Josh and Warren says, does Javi need hip surgery again, guys? Is that why he's swinging at bad pitches again? Yeah, I mean, he had a very ugly at-bat yesterday. It still creeps up every once in a while. But they, you know, I mean, they've got enough guys that they you assume that Javi's going to play a role, but it might not be an everyday role.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an everyday role or close to it, just because of his position versatility as well. I mean, until Parker Meadows is proven that he can come back, I think Javi's the best option they have in center field. He's without a doubt capable defensively. And, you know, offensively, you look at his numbers and, you know, they're not eye-catching. They never really were. What showed up was that, at least they never really were this year, what showed up was that he was hitting for average and he would deliver in more clutch situations, which we didn't see him hit for average at all last year. Strangely enough, he actually delivered in clutch situations last year despite the fact that his average sucked. This year, it's the same thing. He still has an OPS. It's like 850 with runners in scoring position. And he's actually hitting 300 with runners in scoring position. So you'll take it. It's, you know, go through ups and downs of the season. It is what it is. But, yes, he has. We've seen him stretch and expand that strike zone more than you feel comfortable with from time to time. But at least he's still getting on base.
What do we got here? Unnamed texter. Melton is too good for the bullpen. Give me 5 or 6 innings every 5 days. Okay, if you mean 5 or 6 innings every 5 days the rest of the regular season, there's a good chance that they'll cap him before he gets to the postseason. You know, maybe not, but, you know, that is something that teams do. They allow pitchers to kind of take steps as far as innings pitched. And what did you say? He's at
97 and two-thirds innings this year.
And what was he last year?
100.1, I believe.
Okay, so he's still got some starts in him for sure, but are you sure you want to use him every 5 days the rest of the way? Especially with, I mean, I know people don't see it as a comfortable lead, 6.5 games, but it's comfortable-ish. It's comfortable enough that you can maybe try and thread the needle of not use him as a starter and be able to stretch him out to get him into the postseason if you want to see him pitch in the most important games. Mike in Plymouth says, Flaherty is a veteran who will absolutely be part of the postseason roster, unlike the struggling youngster Casey Mize last year. That's from Mike. I mean, I suspect Flaherty will be on the postseason roster, but what would it take for him not to be? I wouldn't say it's written in stone, and it's probably not written in stone with Mize either. Mize has these really weird outings where he's 60 pitches and he's just starting the third inning.
Yeah. He has had those, and that's, you know, compiling obviously way too many pitches, and yet still able to navigate and give you 5 or 6 innings most of the time. But, you know, that's a guy who was obviously an all-star first half of the season and has not pitched to that level in the second half of the season. Been way more inconsistent, but it feels like a lot of the Tigers have been way more inconsistent in the second half. It's a 40-game sprint now. it's time to turn it back on, and he's going to have to be a big part of what of their success the rest of the way.
248-539-9797. Tigers win a series. Did it make you feel better, people? From an unnamed texter, I don't really feel any better. Sure, they're winning series, but against bad teams and struggling to do it.
Well, it's against a team that they just beat a team that is a top 10 offense in the league since the All-Star break. And I'm not going to blow up the White Sox and make it seem like the White Sox are awesome, but how about, is it fair to say the White Sox are playing a lot better baseball now than they were back in May?
Yes.
It's a different team. It's still not, I wouldn't say it's a good team, but it's a team nonetheless that you have to win the series, and they did just that. They won the series.
Let's go to Hal on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Hal.
How you doing? I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Just on the Tigers, just generally my thoughts are right now they really are a 500 team the way they're playing and with all the various different things you've been talking about. And, you know, they'll win another 20 games. And I think it's going to come down to those final games with Cleveland to see if they see how they do. But I think they'll make the playoffs. But I don't think the way things are going, I just think they have much of a chance of them making it into the second round of the playoffs. They're just off, and unless they can fix something, and of course that's easier said than done. But I think they'll make the playoffs. I think the Cleveland games would be close, more exciting than we want them to be at the end of the year.
So. Let me ask you a question, because they've won 4 of 6 here. They got Scooble going tonight to make a great chance to make it 5 of 7. They beat the Angels in a series. The Angels then went to L.A. and swept the Dodgers. So, I mean, are you being maybe a little too dismissive of the way they've played lately?
No, I don't think so. I think with their their pen work not working any better. Their starters haven't struggled. They're having a hard time hitting. And I'm thinking these guys are going to pull out of it. I mean, they're going to start fixing some of that stuff. But like I said, I really think they're like a 500 team now. And I think that gives them 90 wins or 91 or something like that. And I think that should get them there. And I think. I'm afraid we're going to have our playoffs when we start playing the Cleveland at the end of the year.
All right, Hal. I mean, I guess the starters and the bullpen were great in 2 of these 3 games in Chicago. But they were great in 2 of the 3 games in Chicago. We asked you, do you feel any better? And your answer is clearly no.
Well, I would say this. I can understand if the playoffs started today or tomorrow, right? If playoffs start tomorrow and, you know, the Tigers match up against Seattle, I don't think I'd have a ton of confidence. But if they started tomorrow and the Tigers match up with the Yankees, I'd feel pretty good.
So the crazy thing is, I mean, the good news is they don't start tomorrow. They got a lot of time to work this out.
Factual.
There's the Tigers aren't playing their best baseball of the season right now. So if this version of the Tigers is who goes into the postseason, I mean, it's not a dreadful group. I think that they would have a chance to win any series. But, you know, there was a while there they looked like they would absolutely win every series, right? I mean, they were really instilling confidence. But 248-539-9797. Aubrey is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Aubrey.
Hey, fellas, let me start off this way. I retired almost a year ago, and I really get a chance to listen a lot more and enjoy you guys on YouTube. And my wife gives me crap. She goes, dude, you're just obsessed with this stuff. But really enjoy watching you guys on the TV, so for what it's worth.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Aubrey. We got to work on getting your wife to be obsessed with the show.
Yeah.
That's a tall task, buddy. You're on there. But, yeah. Hey, look, here's what I would say about the Tigers. I still think our fans have a lot of scar tissue from losing 12 out of 13, right?
Yeah.
And you said it well. This team has won the last couple of series. Should they have had 4 or 5 runs yesterday? Probably so. They didn't, but guess what? They won. Now, Conversely, is this a team that's really going to be a contender for the World Series? My supposition is probably not. You know, maybe we get back to the divisional championship series, and if we get lucky, sure, maybe we get to the World Series. But this team is not as good as what they were at the beginning of the season, and they're sure not as bad as what they were around the All-Star break. I think their level is maybe playing 550 ball up to 600 ball. And if you do that, guys, this team wins the division, and they have a chance maybe to get a bye in the first round, and we'll see what happens from there. That's my take.
I think that bye, and I appreciate the phone call. Thank you, Aubrey. And that bye looms large because getting to set up Scooble in a five-game series when another team's got to use pitching to get through a divisional series or get through a wild card series, that's a big deal. That is a big, big deal. So, yeah, getting one of these top two seeds in the American League feels very important to me. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. Lions and Dolphins, they have now taken the field together. We got 7-on-7s going on in front of us with the Lions defense and the Dolphins offense. I want to get your take on what you've seen so far. We'll tell you when we continue from out here at Allen Park here on 97.1 The Ticket.